5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, welcome back. You're on with two mics. Dr. Michael Scheuer, New York Times bestselling author. And Colonel Mike, good to be back with you. Fred Coulter in Hollister, California. And you know, we're coming up on a holiday season. There's so many things you could talk about. There's Easter. There's a host of things. Passover. Go ahead. You start it up.
Okay. I call it the clash of religions on this weekend. And it starts on Friday night, April 11th, which then is the true Passover of God, on the 14th of the first month. And then we come to the day portion, which then is the regular Sabbath this year, in addition to being the Passover day portion. And then that night, there is what is called the night to be much observed to the Lord. And I'm sure hardly anyone has ever heard of that. Well, that's celebrating and commemorating when the children of Israel started to leave Egypt as God guided them out under the hand of Moses. And that was exactly 430 years after the covenant with Abraham. So that tells you the truth of God. He's always on time. Then we have the next night, which then is the Jews' Passover. The Jews keep a 15 Passover, and they've had a dual Passover in many cases from the time of their Babylonian captivity when they came back and down to the time of Christ. And Christ kept the Passover of the Bible. Now, then we go on. Look at what we have today. We have what is called Good Friday. What's so good about it? Because they say that's when he was crucified. Not true. He was not crucified on Good Friday. And then they say, well, we have Easter Sunday, and that's when Jesus rose. No, that's not true either. He didn't rise from the dead then. All right. Then we have all the Easter things, all the boiled eggs tattooed, colored, and put out in the field so the children can find them. And they're told the Easter bunny brings them. But I yet have to find a rabbit who can lay hard-boiled chicken eggs already colored. You can't find that anywhere. And what does that have to do with God? What does that have to do with Christ? Then we have the weeping on Saturday night until midnight, right there in the Vatican. And then at midnight, they say, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. And everybody's all happy. Wrong, 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 wrong.
In America, Fred, we have sunrise service on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the next one, sunrise service. Now you get out there, and what is it? You're worshiping the sun. And who is sun? Well, the sun god is Baal in the Bible. And Easter is Ashtaroth, who is the pagan goddess of Babylon. So pray tell, all of the Catholics out there, good, bad, and indifferent, what does that have to do with Christ? What does that have to do with truth?
Fred, can I ask you a question? You said earlier in the show about 14th and 15th. Where do we find the actual true Passover that is God's Passover on the 14th? What book in the Bible?
It starts out in Genesis 15 with the covenant with Abraham. That was on the Passover. Then it comes down to the children of Israel when God let, before Pharaoh let them go, God brought all the plagues against Egypt. Then the last plague was the killing of the firstborn man and beast. And we find there in Exodus 12, that's where we have it defined as the Passover of the Lord. Okay? And that's on the 14th day of the first month of the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, little thing on the calculated Hebrew calendar. People don't know about it because they haven't ever heard of it. But God does not do things on the Roman calendar the way that they are today. Then it comes down, and all of the righteous people always kept the Passover throughout the Old Testament. When you come to the New Testament, the apostles kept the 14th Passover. And Jesus' last Passover was on the 14th, which was on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, because he had to be in the grave 3 days and three nights, right? Little sidebar. If he's crucified on Friday and resurrected at midnight on Sunday, tell me how you get 3 days and three nights out of that.
Department of Education, USA.
True. No, the Vatican. And even the cardinals, some of them, are telling everyone that the Pope is of the devil, and they have to run and hide. To finish the difference between the 14th and 15th, the 15th Passover came because they were in Babylon, because God says in Numbers 9 that you have to be in the land of Israel in order to keep the 14th Passover. So what they did, they started the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is for 7 days, and they called the first day Passover, and then they said that commemorates the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. No, the Passover day commemorates the killing of the firstborn of man and beast so that the children of Israel could leave the next night on the 15th. Now, we've got all of that in all of our publications. So we have the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, Harmony of the Gospels, and we have Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which?
This is totally free because it says freely you receive, freely you give. Thank you, Fred.
Now, we need to understand that as Jesus said, in the latter days, there are going to be a multitude of false prophets and lying wonders and deceiving things taking place, because Satan is the god of this world and he has a false Jesus, he has a false Christ, he has a false resurrection. He has a false crucifixion. Okay? Now, we also have clear back here in the book of Jeremiah, because what we need to do is understand, out of all of this confusion, what can we understand? Okay? So we have a prophecy here concerning the prophets that were in ancient Israel. Same thing today. And by the way, you need to get our book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny. The Jews are one tribe of 12. And the Jews claim that even Adam was a Jew, which is stupid. He was never a Jew. All right. Now, down through the history, there have always been false prophets. And this is what we're up against today. We're up against things that men have said or have gotten or not. We're up against things and practices that people think are right. For example, you have where the Catholics say of the Mass, of the Eucharist, that the priest, when he blesses the bread and the wine, it becomes the physical flesh and physical blood of Jesus. Not so. Jesus now is a spirit being. He has no flesh and blood. Number one. Number two, can any man command God what to do? Huh? I don't care the ceremony. I don't care about what they think is a sanctimonious whatever concerning it or how much incense they burn. They cannot change the word of God. Only God can modify his word, okay? Now, that's important to understand because you look at everything that is in Christianity today. It has overtaken the truth. It is a religion of men, a religion of philosophy started by apostates beginning in 100 AD and culminating in a grand Constantine declaring that the Sabbath was no longer to be kept. Well, What did God say? Did God ever do away with the Sabbath?
What he said was remember. He said remember.
Yeah, it says remember. So what happens, what they're told to remember, they forget. So how can you claim you know God when you forget what you're supposed to remember? Now, let's come here. Let's look at the false prophets. Verse 16, Jeremiah 23. And we will see that this is a prophecy for today. Going way back when, just a little sidebar, I've got some other notes here that I can show you that from the book of Proverbs about understanding about government and truth and oppression and righteous leaders, 3,000 years old, and they fit today. Why? Because they are of the Word of God, which is truth. Okay? Now, everyone needs to understand this. This is an important chapter because it brings into detail the things that Jesus said. He said there will be false prophets and false Christ. And currently there are four men on the earth, I don't have their names handy with me, who claim that they are Jesus manifested in the flesh. And guess what? People follow them.
Absolutely. We had a lot of people follow cults in the past. In fact, maybe this one Jesus guy's in Houston today because it's a nice weather day. He might be down there.
Yeah. I tell you, it's an amazing thing indeed. Okay. So this is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. Now, is it not vain if you're going to have an Easter parade? Is it not vain if you're going to say that Christ is represented by a pagan Babylonian goddess Ishtar and say that's a holy sacred day for Christians? They speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They will say to those who despise me, and here's the message that they bring. Listen, this was done in the 500s B.C., 2,500, 2,600 years ago. Now, I want you to understand this. The Word of God is always true. The Word of God is always right. It doesn't matter if there's a religious figure to tell you that this sin is good or that this pagan practice is now Christian. It's not so. They will say this, the Lord has said you shall have peace. They shall say to everyone who walks in the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon them. Now, I heard that the other night from TBN. There's a minister there saying, believe in Jesus. He's our sacrifice. True. Now, remember, every deception has some truth in it. And that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You don't forgive future sin because it hasn't happened. And he never tells you what sin is. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law of God. Or more closely defined, lawlessness. And in Matthew 24 in the end times, Jesus said that lawlessness will be multiplied. That's true. All you have to do is go on the internet and you will see it all. And then they say, no evil shall come upon you. See, that is, if you accept the false Jesus and you're under grace, then you can do anything you want to do and everything is just fine. No, God says this, the one who God sends speaks the words of God in truth. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in fury, whirling tempest, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And that is true. It happens every time down through all the history of mankind. All you have to do is look at all of these archaeological digs that they have in the American Science Channel. Now, a little sidebar here to show you how these things work. In one of the digs in Egypt, there was a woman who gave up her husband and child so that she could live in those Egyptian pagan temples that they have dug up. And as she started sleeping in there, when she was sleeping in there, the demons came and gave her visions. Because those places that they are digging up are a testimony to the evil and to the demonic Satanism that they had in their religion. Okay? And that's why they don't exist. The whirling tempest has come upon them, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Now, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has perfected the purposes of his heart. Everything of mankind and all of us, God has a purpose. Now, I'm going to bring a sermon soon on the purposes of God for you. But you have to come to God his way. God will come to you if you come to him. But he's not going to come to you if you live in your sins. Now, listen to this statement here. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly.
So we would be the latter days and the generation or the civilization of wisdom. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. We're living in the latter days. And the whole world is involved. Just think about all of the technology we have that instantaneously, if anything happens anywhere in the world, we can get the sound, the sight, the live reporting instantly. Never happened before, right? Okay, latter days. Now, God says this, though they claim they're from God or not, he says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if, now notice how important the word of God is to anyone. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way, from the evil of their doings. Now then, God says, am I not a God who is near and not far off? Listen, here's a statement you need to understand about everything that there is. It is this. God is all things to everything. I want you to think on that. That's a profound statement because he made the heavens, he made the earth, all of the galaxies, all of the planets, solar system, everything on the earth, everything for men, food, air, water, land, even gold and silver. And it says in one place there in Deuteronomy 32:13 that you suck oil out of the rocks. Okay? Now, it goes on. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? No, God is all things to everything, even the smallest nano that passes through the earth unseen or unnoticed by human beings. Everything there is on the earth, the water, the air, the fish, the animals, the climate, everything came from God. And each one of us came from what? A speck of dust that you cannot see. And look at what you are today. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord, with his power, with his creation, with everything that he has made? That's a wonderful thing because the true God is absolutely magnificent. Then he says, I have heard the prophets, what they have said, who prophesy lies in my name. That's what they do. They say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. All you have to do is say this little prayer and accept him. And then your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, and you can do anything you want. Nonsense. That's a lie. And they say, I've dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies, who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? That's why we have all of these silly holidays that have nothing to do with God. Halloween, Christmas, New Year, Easter, Lent. You get that ashes right on your forehead. You have got a sign of Satan right on your forehead. And you are saying to everyone, you belong to him. Let's read these next two verses. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word. Everybody has a Bible. Every preacher has a Bible. And they say that they use the Bible. Now, these modern translations, some of them have taken out as many as 3,000 words from the New Testament. Now, we've got that all documented. They don't know about it. They think these new translations are great, but they're not. That's why we have the Holy Bible in its original order. Now, let me finish this. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Okay? Faithfully, truthfully, honestly. No political or religious concessions. Now, let's understand, first of all, who Jesus really is, because the picture of Jesus hanging on a cross with that petulant little face with long hair, and he didn't have long hair, by the way, because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. He didn't have long hair. And then they show him with a little drizzle of blood coming down off of him. No, he was beaten. He was scourged. He was crucified. He shed every drop of blood, and the Roman soldier with his spear put the final coup de grace in Jesus, sticking it in from the right side and going up and piercing his heart so that every drop of blood would be drained because he was the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Okay? Now, who was Jesus? All right? Let's do this. Let's come to Philippians and we will see. His birth was a tremendous birth because we will see what he had to do to accomplish that because he was actually God manifested in the flesh. And this stupid nonsense that people have that Mary was the mother of God is absolute nonsense. That goes back to the time of Ishtar, and Tammuz was her son who was the Babylonian son of God. Now, let's see about Jesus, who he was. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the whole goal of conversion. Did Jesus sin? No. Did Jesus do away with the laws of God? No. Did Jesus love God? Yes. Did he show us how to live? Did he teach us how to pray? Did he teach us how to treat other human beings? Yes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, that means he was God. Now, you go back to John, the first chapter, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there are two in the Godhead, not three. Two. Okay. Now, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself. That means he reduced himself down from his existence as God to a pinpoint of life to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, question. Can anyone tell me, have you ever done works of humility compared to what Jesus did? No. He gave up being God about 99.9%. Okay. Emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. And having been found in the manner of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And he said to the disciples there, "No one takes my life. I lay it down." Now, that's important to understand. Now, let's come back. Let's look at the true Passover for just a little bit, because the true Passover becomes very important. That's the whole focal point of true Christianity. And that day, from sunset to sunset, Jesus was completely occupied in everything concerning that Passover day, beginning with the Last Supper. And the Last Supper had to be to end the Passover with the Old Covenant and to institute the New Covenant for the New Covenant. So let's come back here to Matthew 26 and let's see. And isn't it interesting, too, that Satan was there in the first part of the Passover as well. Verse 26, Matthew 26. Here is the Passover ceremony. Now, the first part of it, to begin the Passover services, as we find in John 13, is the foot washing. Now, foot washing is very important.
You know, Mike and I, we grew up in the Catholic Church. I've never seen the foot washing. Mike, did you ever see foot washing?
No.
Now, I've seen a couple of Protestant churches do it, Fred.
Well, you know, I did see the Pope John II wash the feet of the man who tried to kill him.
Yeah, but the Pope doing it doesn't mean anything. All true Christians need to wash one another's feet. Now.
I see. I wasn't justifying
anything. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that before Passover? You do this before Passover? When do you do this, Fred?
That was the beginning of the Passover ceremony. Now, the foot washing, okay. He explains it this way. He said this to Peter, "What I'm doing now you do not understand, but you shall know after these things." Then Jesus said to him, "The one who has been washed does not need to wash anything other than the feet, not his hands and head. Therefore, he washed their feet." And then he said, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Verse 13, he says this, "You call me the teacher and the Lord, and you speak rightly because I am. Therefore, if I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you are also duty-bound to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example to show that you should also do exactly as I have done to you." Then he says this, "This is so that we know no man is above God. No man is to place himself instead of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, and a messenger not greater than him who sent him." Okay? And another meaning is, we will walk in the way of the Lord. See? That's why you have the feet washed. Then you have the bread, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Matthew 26. Now, this is unleavened bread. Now, during that time, the Passover day is a separate unleavened bread day to start everything off with the Passover. Then immediately after the Passover, there are 7 days of unleavened bread. And we're to eat unleavened bread 7 days. Okay? And that's a type of sin. And that tells us, in eating it, we have to put in the truth of God, which is sinless. And we have to use that for our nourishment spiritually. Okay? Now, here's what he said when he instituted it. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to the disciples." Now, remember, only those who are baptized properly can take the Passover. Okay? And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Okay? Now, we'll look at what that means here in just a little bit as well. "And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said to them, 'All of you drink of it, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Now then, let me explain the difference between a covenant and a testimony. A testimony is like a last will and testimony. Once you make it, you can change it any time up to the very last breath you breathe. Covenant is entirely different. A covenant is you pledge to do what you're going to do, and the sacrifice that you give in honor of that pledge seals the covenant. You cannot change a covenant. Okay? And that's what the New Testament is all about, the covenant of eternal life. All right? Now let's come here to John, the sixth chapter, and let's read, what does it mean to eat the bread? He said, this is my body. Okay? Now, let's understand this. Let's start this, a very basic thing. What was the first thing that Jesus said in the temptation when he was tempted by Satan, the devil? The devil came to him and said, look at these rocks, turn them to bread, to show that you're the Son of God. What did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, now listen to this, but by every word of God. Now that's what the bread pictures. We live by every word of God. That's before any of the New Testament was written. John 6, verse 53. Why the Passover is so important. Therefore Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, symbolized by the bread, and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. You do not have the begettal of eternal life. The begettal of eternal life is receiving the Holy Spirit of God, which comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ, and both of them make their dwelling within our hearts. And we become, as Paul wrote, a actual mini temple of God, housing the Holy Spirit in our mind, and that leads us and guides us and directs us. Okay? Now, continuing. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is dwelling in me, and I in him. That's the whole thing. That is the covenant of the Passover. That's why it's so important. That's why it is has been done the way that it has been done. And it was done by God, Christ, manifested in the flesh. And then he gave his life on that Passover day. An amazing thing. Okay? Now, here's the whole key. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. Now you take that statement and you look at it. What does that mean? That means Jesus never sinned. And if he would have done away with any of the laws, which he said he wouldn't do, he would not abolish any of the laws of God. He changed the sacrifices of animals to his sacrifice, which is superior. That's why it's so important. And so what God has done, he has not done away. He has raised to a spiritual level all the meaning of the sacrifices at the temple. And now we pray to God the Father in heaven above at the temple. Now we have Jesus Christ and God the Father in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. An amazing thing. So he says, as the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so also the one who eats me shall live by me.
Mike, you got to have the question by now. Did you understand what he just said?
Yeah, I understood it all. It largely clashes with most of what I've learned in my life, and it causes me to wonder, what in the world have I done over 72 years?
That's good. Now, you were dedicated. You were good because that's all you knew. because they don't teach the Bible in the Catholic Church. They teach their tradition, right? Catechism, and it takes away the second commandment, no idols, and it splits the 10th commandment in two. And then they say the Sabbath has been done away. And then they say the Old Testament is the old law. Well, I just read to you prophecies that apply today. So you have been good in what you've been doing, but is it the goodness of God? Is it what God has said that he acknowledges is good? That's what everyone needs to ask the question.
Yes.
It's knowledge. We need to know knowledge. We need to get more wisdom, because remember, God says if you want wisdom, just ask for it, right?
That's right. And then you have to apply it. Let's finish this. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and died. The one who eats this bread shall live forever. In other words, that's a down payment from God with his Holy Spirit, with the sacrifice of Christ. And this is why we keep the 14th Passover the way that God intended. Now, the Jews keep a 15th Passover, and what? Guess what? They reject the New Testament entirely, except for a few messianics, right? And that's yes. Because they rejected Christ. And that's why they have so much trouble today, and have had trouble in every generation.
Fred, didn't Jesus say in the Bible, you're from your father, the devil?
Yeah, speaking of lies. John the 8th chapter. Therefore, Jesus said to them, verse 42, if God were your father, you would have loved me. Now, who's he speaking to? The priest at the temple. And let's see what he says about them, because this tells us what Satan always wants to do. Get right in the middle of the highest level of everything and corrupt it. Witness Washington, D.C. on a governmental level. Now then, because I proceeded forth and came from God, I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Listen carefully. Because you cannot bear to hear my words. You cannot bear to hear the truth. Why? Because it pierces even to the heart and the mind, convicting of truth. And people don't like the truth. People don't like to hear that what they've been doing, thinking that they've been doing right, is actually sin against God. Oh, how dare anyone say that? I've been good. Well, really, what is the definition of good? Your definition or the definition of the Bible? See? Now, he says, you can't understand my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. Now, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that he is the God of this world who blinds the minds of those who don't believe. Now, believe means to accept the word of God, to believe the word of God, to live by the word of God, and to repent and be baptized the way that God says you need to be baptized. And infant baptism or child baptism, it's not right. Even a baptism by full immersion, if you're not keeping the commandments of God, it's not valid. See? Because you are giving your life to God. And that is a symbolical burial of it. And Paul says in Romans, the 6th chapter, that we're conjoined to the death of Christ. That's the new covenant, see? And it joined to his death, his crucifixion. It's almost like God takes the repentant sinner and lays his body on the body of Christ, symbolically. It's an amazing thing. But we then are to walk in newness of life, not in the way we have been going. Here we go. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to do. Change the word of God. Have you ever heard of the code of Jewish law? Make a Catholic catechism look like kindergarten. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Okay? Now, that's where we are with all the false religion and all of these things clashing together on this one weekend, where you have Easter, you have the supposed resurrection, you have the practice of the Jews, you have the practices of the churches of God, and they all clash together right there in that one place. Now, why is that so? It doesn't do it every year, but certain years it will do it. That is to show that you must understand the truth from error, and you must not go along with all of these satanic practices. Now then, I want to cover a fake communion. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of the blessing we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being many are one body and one bread, because we are all partakers of the bread. Considering Israel, verse 20. But that which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. Okay? They had a fake bread and wine ceremony, but they sacrificed to demons and not to God. I do not wish you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Okay? That's what we have. And that's why the communion doesn't work. Catholics have it. You can take Mass anytime you want. Where's that in the Bible? Now, there's one place that says as often as you eat and drink, but there are qualifying statements to show that there are conditions on as often as. That means yearly from that time until Christ returns, because there's only one day of Passover, and that's on the 14th day of the first month in the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, with all of this together, see, the Passover is so that we come to God, not because we're great, not because we're anything. We come to God because God is everything. Like I said, God is all things to everything. And we exist and we eat, we breathe, and everything comes from God. There is not a thing that doesn't come from God. Okay? And this is why we have the Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then all of the other holy days of God, which you have heard maybe of Pentecost, but you haven't heard of Trumpets, Atonements, Tabernacles, and Last Great Day, and that covers everything concerning the whole plan of God. So if you get the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, you get the book, A Cult Holidays, God's Holy Days, you get the Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, and we have corrected all of the changes that they have put in these modern translations. And it is in the original order the way that God intended it to be.
I want to just jump in here a minute. I went on the AI and I went on the web one day. I asked the question, what is the most accurate Bible? And it said the Faithful Version.
That's amazing.
I want to just tell the people, if you go on the web and you want to, let's say, pull a chapter or verse from the Bible, there's so many things you can see, Bible Hub, Bible.info, so on and so forth. And then they give you all the translations, you know. It's very hard. But if you go to the Faithful Version online, not only you can do the chapter and verse, but when you click on the chapter and verse, Fred actually speaks the verse. So if you say Matthew 25, Fred will speak Matthew 25, and it'll continue to verse 1, 2, 3, 4, chronological, numerical order, and then it'll go to the next one, chapter 26. So the Holy Bible in its original order, the Faithful Version, you can get it on the web. It's free. You could get the app free, too.
I might mention this, Mike. We took 3 years to read the whole Bible with all the commentaries and appendices. So you get all of the vocal there. Plus, we have it on 7 CDs. So if you want those CDs, we'll send them to you no cost.
So there you go. You can get that on the web. You can go to truthofgod.org. You take a look, just see what you like. Mike, you want to wrap up?
Yes, sir. And I've got just a quick question, Fred. When we were young, we were taught in the Catholic Church that you had to be baptized immediately, within weeks after you were born. So if you passed, you wouldn't go to hell. And I've always regarded that as an indictment of God. Why would he do that to a baby?
That's a teaching of men, because baptism requires repentance. And an infant can't repent. It's totally innocent. It has done nothing. You read the appendices in the Bible, what it means born again and born of God, and you will see that that very ceremony that the Catholics had was with the pagans over here in Mexico. When they came from Europe, they found that that's what was part of their religion, infant baptism. It's an amazing thing.
Well, it's bothered me for going on 60 years now since I was old enough to recognize it, or at least question it. And it's always troubled me very much.
Okay, well, just do this. Go by the words of God, not by the traditions of men. And many things we have been taught are wrong. And that's not our fault. But we can come out of it. God can lead us out of it, you see. That's what it's all about. Now, here's another thing that is true. Once we start keeping the word of God and keeping the Sabbath, then God will open up our minds and lift the blindness that is there naturally because of resistance against God, and spiritually because Satan, the devil's deceiving the whole world. So it's quite a thing. So I suggest that to all your listeners. You get the Bible, you read it, you obey it, you start with the Ten Commandments, you pray, you ask God to help you, and you keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday and ask God to open your mind and understand the Word of God. And it will be amazing. It will be absolutely amazing. And the love of God is so great and so mighty and so fantastic that it is really quite a thing. By the way, we've got a new book coming out shortly all about the love of God in the Bible, because it's so misrepresented by all of these fake Sunday-keeping preachers.
And Fred, I just want to mention your latest one that I got from you. The last one is The Grace of God in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you may want to get a copy of that. The Grace of God in the Bible, as always. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Go ahead. Take care.
Thank you, Fred.
Bye-bye.